You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. That's... it's just an awful feeling.
The scariest thing is in this life, it's my desk. My desk, both at home and at work, is an absolute jungle. I never know when I sit down at my desk if I'm going to have a snake jump out from the jungle and bite me. I mean, it's just that nasty. Maestro, are you a messy desk person or a clean desk?
You see it right
person?
Here.
Oh,
see how nice and
not,
clean it is?
This is not representative of your desk. No. We are in a sound room. I want to know what your desk looks like.
There's a pile of stuff on it.
Well, that's interesting. That actually says a lot about you, how you keep your desk in terms of being messy or clean. That gives some insightful information into who you are as a person. But you're going to have to wait a minute before I tell you about yourself. Hello, greetings and salutations to you. This is Robbie Romeiser, host of your Career Callings radio show, where our purpose is to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. Join us today with your questions or comments at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649 by phone or text or email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E @careercallings.net. Ran across an infographic. I don't know if you know what an infographic is or not, but those are seem to be at least becoming more and more popular in both magazines and online articles and things of that nature. And it's basically a situation where someone takes a bunch of information and puts it in pictorial form, because the older our nation gets, the dumber our population becomes. So this is a mixture of how you can go from the days of reading those books where there were only pictures and the books where it's only words, and you're merging the two into an infographic. So today's modern educated person can actually understand the information being presented. Actually, I'm a big fan of them because I'm much more of a visual learner than I am anything else. So seeing a picture actually helps me a little bit. I will admit to that in public. So this Men's Health infographic says, or is titled, "What Does Your Desk Say About You?" And as always, I will link to this and other things I reference on the program to or at careercallings.net/radio, careercallings.net/radio, where you can find these links and also copies of a copy of today's program once we get it posted on the web. It says here, breaks this infographic down into two things. This is what clean desk people are like, and this is what messy desk people are like. So let's start with the clean desk folks. And the clean desk folks, they only really track three things in this infographic per person. So here's the first thing. People who have clean desks, 82% of those folks donated to charity for an average of $4.25 per person. All right, so those folks, pretty generous if you look at it compared to what I'm about to tell you about the messy desk people. So 82% donated to charity for an average of $4.25 per person. The messy desk people, in comparison, only 47% donated to charity, so about half, a little bit more than half, for an average of only $1.72 per person. So messy people are stingy people. Either that, or they're so horrible with their finances, they don't have any money left over to give it away. So there you go. That's comparison number one. Comparison number two, the clean desk people are two times more likely to choose a menu option labeled classic for example, if you're checking out the newest version of Windows, Windows typically has an option to go with the classic view, and that's for people who like the more, you know, the older, in my opinion, simpler interfaces of like your Windows XP, your Windows 7. Those folks, the clean desk people, like the classic view. The messy desk people are two times more likely to choose the menu option labeled new. So they like the new stuff, the creative stuff, all that good stuff. Okay. And comparison number three, clean desk people are 67% more likely to choose the apple over the candy bar, which is why they're messed in the head. They're messed up in the head because you should never choose fruit over Snickers. It just doesn't work. It's not, that's not the way God designed us. So if you do that, there's something wrong with you. The messy desk people, 80% chose the candy bar over the apple. Those people have it right. They have both feet on the ground, living in reality as it should be. Now, the only other comparison between these two types of folks, the clean desk people and the messy desk people, is that product solutions from the messy desk people were rated 41% more creative, and they came up with five times as many ideas as the people who had the clean desk. So, whether or not this study was scientific, I don't have a clue. But you've heard for years that your more creative people, as a general rule of thumb, tend to be a little bit more on the messy side. Obviously, there are exceptions to that, but this infographic from Men's Health seems to kind of give credence to that folklore, whether that folklore is correct or not. I will tell you this: I'm basically a slob. In many areas of my life, there are some areas of my life where I have to have things perfectly ordered. But in many areas of my life, like I mentioned, my desk is a jungle, and there are other things in my life are that way as well. But yeah, I'm at peace with this. I'm at peace with this, and just to demonstrate to you in musical form how much peace I have, let me just let this lady say it all for me here, okay?
The cranny is bright in my kitchen tonight. Not a child will confess to all of this graffiti. My house is such a mess. The kids are arguing and throwing balls inside. Couldn't keep it clean, heaven knows I've tried. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good mom you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Oh, stress, don't show. Let it go, let it go. Can't fight with the mess anymore. Let it go, let it go. Stop the closet and slam the door. I don't care what they're going to say. Let them judge away. Doesn't bother me anymore. It's funny how disorder could make my skin just crawl, but the stress that once controlled me can't get to me at all. It's time to see how this wreck brews, to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong. Go! doesn't bother me anymore.
There you have it, the Romeiser household theme song. Amen, baby. That's what I'm talking about. That's pretty creative. Don't you think, Maestro? She was pretty creative with those lyrics.
She's a very good singer.
Very good. Yeah, I don't know what's... I tell you what, someday I hope to be creative enough to author something that has as much of a cultural impact as that original Let It Go song from the movie Frozen. I don't know who came up with that, but that was brilliant. And it's all kinds of knockoffs. But by the way, we don't want to be sexist at the Career Callings radio show. Not only is the perfect mom gone, as she said towards the end of that song, so is the perfect dad. Yes, perfect dads are non-existent as well. You can let there be a little bit of socks on the floor, and you'll still be a good dad. Now, I do want to talk a little bit about creativity here before the break, and we'll pick up this conversation most likely on the other side of the break. But we need to remember, when we look at our career callings, our career calling, when we look at God's purpose in our life, we need to remember that God created us in His own image, and that means that He created us to create, because that is one of God's central characteristics. Is he's a creative artist. I mean, if you just look at the universe around us, he has done an amazing work of beauty and structure and things of that nature, and it's just evidence of his imagination all around us when we look at the creation that we live in. And when we stare at ourselves in the mirror, that is an example of his creativity. I mean, there are no two people alike. Even the two identical twins have a little bit of difference in them. So there's so much variety in his creativity. What also stares us in the face when we look in the mirror are beings that he created that are endowed with the same capacity to create something of worth and something of substance for the benefit of others. Some people are gifted with the ability to create great music, like what we just heard. Others, great art. Still others, great businesses or great ministries, great food, great works of literature. And we'll talk about all this greatness a little bit more on the other side of the break. See you in a few minutes. Career Callings with Robbie Romeiser.
Hi, this is Corey Truax inviting you to listen to the brand new creatively titled Corey Truax Show right here on Christian Talk 660. It'll be insightful commentary on culture, politics, and the church. I promise you, it'll be both entertaining and educating. Tune in to the next Corey Truax Show.
The Corey Truax Show, Saturday mornings at 8 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Only 27% of college grads are working in the career field for which they studied. The average cost of college is a little bit more than $18,000 a year. This means that 73% of college grads waste $75,000 and years of their lives pursuing fields of study they will never use in real life. Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries, through its Career Direct Assessment, has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover and let us help you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called you to do. Again, that's careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
DVDs for Vets is asking listeners to donate new or used DVDs for the benefit of military veterans who otherwise cannot easily obtain them on their own. With limited entertainment, vets in rehab can use what many of us take for granted every day. To donate new or used DVDs or to learn more about this worthy cause, please go to DVDsForVets.org. That's DVDs, the number 4, Vets.org.
Weekday mornings from 7 to 9, Dr. Tony Beam hosts Christian Worldview Today on Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? If not, that's why we're here, to encourage you to do what God created you to do. Robbie Romeiser with Career Callings. Feel free to join us with your comments and questions at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, by phone call or text message at that number, and by email at robbie@careercallings.net, R-O-B-B-I-E. At careercallings.net. Before the break hit upon us, we were talking about creativity and how God created us to create, because He created us in His own image, and one of the major characteristics He has as a creative being, He has endowed us with that same type of creative tendency. And as we were saying right before the break, some people are gifted with the ability to create great music, like what we heard in the first segment today. Others, great art. So whatever, great businesses, great ministries, great, a lot of different things. And the whole idea behind God giving us this creative power and tendency is so that we will create things that will make a positive impact on other people for God's glory. And when we do fulfill our creative tendencies, when we give place to them, we experience personal fulfillment, because we are acting in accordance with the way God created us to be creative. So whatever vocation you are in now, whatever vocation you believe God is calling you into, at the center of that vocation ought to be the use of, at least on a somewhat regular basis, of the types of creative tendencies God has given you, because He wants you to create something of worth that impacts others and brings Him glory while you're doing it. So unfortunately, Christians and non-Christians alike miss out on these blessings of creativity all the time. And we do, because we smother our creativity with a variety of very, very poor choices. I mean, we pursue jobs that provide no outlet for our creative passions. Rarely does the average job seeker ever consider, will that job allow me to use my strengths? Will that job allow me to be creative in the way that God has designed me? Most folks look at one major thing: can I get the money I want out of that job? And because money is the focus for so many people, for most job seekers, saved and unsaved alike, is by chasing the money, they totally ignore the types of things they were designed to create. In our daily work, where we spend nearly 2,000 hours a year in the workplace, we ought to be able to be in tune with the creative tendencies God has given us. Otherwise, we will feel unfulfilled. Another distraction is we maintain such busy schedules that we don't have time. We don't have energy to create anything. Sometimes we fill our lives with mindless entertainment that prevents us from spending time on our God-intended work. You know, we are just in love with amusement in the United States of America. And if you think about it, that's a really bad thing, because the word muse means to think. Anytime you see the letter A before a word, it means the exact opposite. So if muse means to think, amuse means not to think, to fill your mind with stupid stuff. You know, you ought to do that every now and then, but if you do it all the time, you don't have time to create. We can usually avoid missing out on these blessings of creativity by making some good choices, choosing jobs that line up with our creative passions, saying no to people and things that crowd out our creative time, choosing to turn off the TV, to put down the pleasure book, not that you can't enjoy these things, but not to excess. Just don't enjoy them to excess. And you'd be amazed at how much more creative and how much more you can do for the Lord if you just turn off the TV a couple hours a night, or even 1 hour a night, and spend that time being creative for Him. And we were created to create. And if we're not creating, we're missing out on some of the best blessings that God intended for us to enjoy. So just keep that in mind as you ponder your next career step. whatever direction that's going to be, make sure that you are pursuing a work that God will allow you to fulfill your creative tendencies. And if you're miserable right now, the job that you're in, it may be because that you're not able to tune in to the creative juices, so to speak, that God made you with. Recently got an email from a lady named Karen asking me about for some guidance regarding a potential move to another state, and also for advice on how to find a job in line with her calling in her life. But kind of mingled in with that request for direction was an admission that there's a struggle with her marriage. You know, she kind of expects it to end in the near future, and part of the reason for her wanting to move away to a different state with her mother and also find another job was tied to all that. So, Karen, I just wanted to kind of just share with you a couple thoughts. Number one, you got a lot going on right there, and certainly I'm not qualified to answer all those issues, but I did kind of get from your email that there's a huge emotional toll, some emotional weight on your shoulders, which I completely understand. And I want to kind of give two things to you in response to your email. Number one, I want to kind of give you a framework for a way to look at all those troubles, and in the frame of your job searches, among other things that you have there, and also give you a couple of quick tips on good biblical decision making. So the first thing I want to give you is the framework, and it's about joy. You know, everybody's going to face trouble, and you are, no doubt, in the midst of that. It's never welcome. Doesn't matter what kind of form it comes in. It's just not fun to be in trouble. When that trouble comes, very oftentimes, it does indeed create a lot of emotional pain, despair, anger, can drain you of your energy. But I want to direct your attention to Psalm 118:24 says this: "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And the key word in that verse is the word will. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we usually relegate our joy, our gladness, our happiness to the realm of the reactive. And what I mean by that is usually we allow our happiness, our joy, to be an emotional reaction to some circumstance or some set of circumstances that are pleasing. But in Psalm 118, we learn that the joy and gladness that the Lord wants us to have don't spring from a reactiveness, if I can say it that way, to circumstance, but a proactive act of will. And they're an offspring. They're supposed to be an offspring of an active choice to be joyful no matter what our circumstances are. And to point that out, if you look a couple of verses prior to 118:24 in the book of Psalm, in Psalm 118, Psalm 118:18 says this: "The Lord hath chastened me sore." What that means is that particular psalmist had been spanked by God in some way that created bad circumstances, pain, and trouble. But just six verses later, in verse 24, that same psalmist is saying, "I'm going to choose to will to be joyful and glad because God gave me this day, and despite all the troubles, there are blessings as well, and I'm going to focus on His goodness to me." So if I could give you that frame of reference to kind of look at your troubles and all the things you got going on, keep that in mind. And if I can kind of summarize it this way, I want to share with you a Chinese proverb that I learned from the great work of wisdom called Kung Fu Panda. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Kung Fu Panda, but there's this little verse here that's wonderful. It's a great way of summarizing Psalm 118:24. "Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift, and that is why we call it the present." Keep that in mind. Now, biblical decision-making techniques, real quick. Just a couple of things here. As you go about deciding what to do about your move, about your marriage, about a particular job, remember that there are four steps to good biblical decisions. Number one, James 1:5 encourages us, commands us to pray for wisdom. The first step is to go before God and ask Him for the wisdom for the right choice in any particular decision. Number two, Joshua 1:8 says, "We'll find that wisdom in the first place in the Word of God." So you got to study the Word of God, look for answers in the Word of God pertaining to your particular type of issue. There are biblical principles that will give you direction in pretty much any kind of choice in life. So you just got to uncover those. Number three, you can get that wisdom as well through the counsel of godly people. And Proverbs 24:6 says to seek godly counsel from others, so do that as well. And then step number four is found in Colossians 3:15, and it talks about the soul harmony, the inner peace that one will get when one is making a choice in alignment with God's will. So if you can do all four of those things, pray for wisdom, search out the wisdom of the Bible, seek for wisdom from godly counselors, and then recognize God's heart peace in your life, then you will know you're making the right decisions in any of those circumstances. I have a story I have to talk about before we break, and I need to introduce it with a wonderful song. ...92-year-old Harriet Thompson last year, or actually earlier this year than summer, back in early June, late May, ran a marathon at the age of 92. In 2014, she broke the marathon record by a woman for over 90, and this year, she was the oldest woman to ever complete a marathon at the age of 92 years and 65 days. It took her 7 hours, 24 minutes, and 36 seconds to complete the race. And she's run 16 marathons to raise money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, raising over $100,000 in donations during her time. This year had extra special meaning for her because she recently lost her husband of 67 years to cancer. Her eldest son is also working through colon cancer, and she herself suffered cancer back in 2010, oral cancer, which took away much of the roof of her mouth, and yet she ran a marathon that year when she had the cancer. She also ran the marathon this year when she was undergoing treatment for squamous cell carcinoma. She had tights on her legs to hide all the radiation burns from her current treatment. Why do I share this story with you? I don't care what God has called you to do in your vocation. Don't tell me you can't take the step to do it. If a 92-year-old woman undergoing cancer treatment can run her 16th marathon, if she can do that, you can do what God wants you to do. You just got to be strong enough and gutsy enough to do it. Now go get it done.